Exodus chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," speaking to the children of Israel, "and they shall turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued them and the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, besides Pihahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more again. You shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for its power, Lord, its message. And Lord, thank you that it's relevant to our lives today. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning through the preaching. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet the needs of the folks here this morning. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you know the story. The word Exodus means to exit. And this book is the story of Israel leaving the land of Egypt. For over 400 years, they were in bondage there. They served Pharaoh. And then, of course, God sent Moses and Aaron to deliver them from the land of Egypt. And you know the story. Pharaoh did not let them go easily. It took 10 plagues that ravished the land of Egypt to allow Israel to be able to lead the land. And finally, after the death of the firstborn, that 10th plague, God allowed them to leave. The Bible says that they left Egypt with a high hand, and they left in a miraculous way. God gave them power to be able to spoil the Egyptians as they left. And of course, they leave Egypt. They're well on their way, and all of a sudden, they don't get too far out of the land, and they run smack dab into the Red Sea. And that's where we picked up our story this morning. And I want to preach a message this morning. I pray to be a help to you. I've entitled it this: What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. What to do when you don't know what to do. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been in a situation and you just say to yourself, I have no idea what I'm going to do? And I want to try to answer that question from the Bible this morning, give you some Bible principles that will help you. What to do when you don't know what to do. Let me begin this message by just making a few observations. First of all, number one is this: trials often come after great victories. You see, Israel just came out of Egypt. They just, God fulfilled his word. They were able to leave Egypt in a miraculous way. I mean, victory. You talk about getting out of the land of Egypt where all the bondage was, where all the turmoil was. They were leaving. What a victory for Israel. But as soon as they get out of Egypt, they don't make it very far, and all of a sudden they hit the Red Sea. Not only did they hit the Red Sea, but Pharaoh, the Bible says God hardens his heart, and him and his army begin to pursue them. So here they are. They're stuck between the Red Sea and a bloodthirsty Egyptian army closing in from behind. You know what? They don't know what to do. You know why? Because trials oft time come after great victories. Was this not illustrated in the life of Jesus Christ? You remember after he was baptized and he had made his appearance on this land, and John the Baptist declared him to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and he baptized him, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the Father's voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then we find Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And you see, folks, I don't necessarily understand why God sets it up this way, but probably to keep us humble. That's probably why he does. But you know what? You may have a great victory in your life, but be prepared that as soon as you have a victory, you're probably going to face a trial. Number two observation is this. God allows us to be put in difficult situations. We find what it said in verse 8 in chapter 14. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. Hey, you know what? God is the one that allowed Pharaoh to pursue after Israel. Do you not think God knew that they would encounter the Red Sea when they left Egypt? Of course he did. And you know what? According to the verse we just read, God's the one that hardened Pharaoh's heart, is the one who allowed him to pursue Israel. You know what? God knew what he was going to do by allowing this difficult, impossible circumstance. God had it all planned. He knew what he was going to do. Now, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I can't always say that I understand why God allows certain things. I can't say I understand it. But may I say this, I can with confidence stand here and tell you this morning that God may not always be able to be understood, but God can be trusted. God can be trusted. You know, the Bible tells us that the way of God and the way he works can't always be explained or understood. The Bible tells us that. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God's using circumstances for the greater good of what he wants to accomplish, and God just asks for us to trust him. That's what God asks. So, God allows us to be put in difficult situations. Number three observation is this. Difficult situations have a tendency to produce fear. Hey, let's be honest this morning. Okay, it's just us. All right, let's be honest. When we're faced with difficult circumstances, the first thing we do is want to be afraid or to fear. We find that's true in the life of Israel here. Exodus, the passage we read, 14 verse 10 says this. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. And you know what? It's easy for us to sit here this morning in this nice auditorium and wonder what the big deal was. You know why? Because we know the rest of the story. But guess what? Israel didn't know it at the time. All they knew was, here's the Red Sea. We have no idea how we're going to get across it. Here's a bloodthirsty Egyptian army. They're coming to kill us, and we're scared. So would you not agree with me this morning that these people were in a situation where they didn't know what to do? Well, I'm glad the story doesn't end there. And I want to give you some things this morning that I pray to be a blessing to you and answer this question, what to do when you don't know what to do? Number one is this. This sounds so basic, so simple, but man, it's a deep truth. Number one is this, cry unto God. Cry unto God. Look at their first reaction in verse 10 in chapter 14. Look what it says here. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Here's their first reaction. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. You know, folks, I often wonder this. Why is it that most people want to make God their last resort instead of their first? Why is it that God is almost treated like a spare tire, if you will? Oh, if problems happen, if things happen, they want to resort to God. But if everything's going okay, then they kind of forget who God is and his place in their life. You know, it seems like everybody wants to try everything, and if that doesn't work, then they'll try God. But let me say this. God doesn't want to be the last resort out of desperation, but the first place we turn to when we don't know what we're going to do. You know what? After all, who loves us the most and knows more about us than anyone? We ought to cry unto the Lord. The Bible says about that crying unto the Lord. Number one, we ought to cry with our voice. The Bible says in Psalms 27, verse 7, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. You know, I know we can talk to God and without speaking a word, and He hears us because He's God, but there's just something about using our voice to talk to God. Don't be afraid to speak out loud to God. Don't be afraid to do that. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 7, David said this, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears." God wants us to lift our voices and cry to Him. You know what? Hey, we'll use our voices for all kinds of other things. Hey, you know, I used my voice last night when IU won that game at the end. I used my voice for that. Hey, if we'll use our voices for things like that, why won't we use our voices to cry out unto the Lord? David said this in Psalm chapter 5. "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." God gives a special hearing to those that cry unto them with their voices. And may I challenge you this morning, folks, cry unto God with your voice. Don't be ashamed to talk to God. Amen. Cry unto Him with your voice. Not only that, we find this, that we can cry unto God with confidence. The Bible says in Psalm 28, verse 1, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." You know what? David knows the one to whom he cries and likens to him to not just a rock, but my rock. I like that. God is and wants to be that rock in your life. You know, in a time, folks, we're living in a time where things are full of uncertainty. You know what? Things sometimes seem upside down. And a time when we're wondering sometimes what we're going to do next. You know what we need? We need a place of confidence where we can anchor ourselves to. And may I say this, God wants to be that rock in your life that you can cry out to with confidence. I love it there. My rock. I will cry unto my rock. I did a little research this week and I found out that there's never been a skyscraper to fall over due to structural design. Now you think about that. Back in November, I took our teens to Chicago, and you talk about a sight, bringing a bunch of country kids into the city. As we were driving through the town, they were all hanging out the window, looking at them big buildings. But you know what? There's a lot of tall buildings there. I took them up into the, used to be the Sears Tower, now it's the Willis Tower, and we went to the top of that thing. We looked at the city of Chicago. And you know what, folks? The Sears, or the Willis Tower, it has a foundation. There are five steel different types of foundations, special design foundations that go 100 feet down into the bedrock. And look, you know what? They don't call Chicago the Windy City for nothing. Okay? I mean, you get up on top of that tower, I mean, the wind is really whipping and really, really blowing, but you know what? That thing just stands nice and sturdy there in that Chicago skyline. You know why? Because its foundations go deep into the bedrock. And may I say this, Christians who stand, Christians who make it through difficult circumstances are those of the one whose foundation is anchored to the bedrock. And of course, that bedrock is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what? If a man can figure out how to make a building withstand the winds and storms of life, don't you think God's figured that out for our lives also? He sure has. So you can cry out to the Lord with confidence. Not only that, we find this, that you can cry unto God when you're overwhelmed. The Bible says in Psalm 61, "From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Notice again, where's David going to? Where's his prayer? It's to the rock. That's where he wants to go. "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." That word overwhelmed there, it means to shroud or clothe or to cover with darkness. You know, folks, once again we find that David's in a place of darkness. Have you ever been there before? Where your heart seems to be shrouded with darkness? You're overwhelmed. I mean, you got this coming from this side, you got this coming from this side, and all of a sudden we don't think it can get worse, then the bombshell drops. And you know what? That's just the way life works. And you can cry out to God when you're overwhelmed. All right? Are you starting to get the picture that crying out to God's a pretty good option when you don't know what to do? crying out to God. Make God your first option. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him with your voice. Cry out to Him with confidence. Cry out to Him when you're overwhelmed. Number two, what to do when you don't know what to do. Man, this is a good one. Listen to the man of God. Look what it says in verse 13 there, back in Exodus chapter 14. As soon as we find they cried out unto God, who do they go to next? They go to Moses. And look what we find in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know, folks, that's why God's designed the church to have a pastor to help lead his people. Hey, God's the one that invented the church. God's the one that came up with the church. God's the one that said the church needed a pastor. You know what? I'm glad that when I'm facing difficult circumstances, I've got a spiritual leader that has a better perspective on the problems than I do. And folks, may I say this? Everybody needs a pastor. Everybody needs a pastor. You know, sometimes you've probably heard this saying before, that you can't see the forest from the trees. You know what? You know what that means? It means this. It means sometimes we get so focused on what's going on right in front of us and everything that affects us that we can't see the bigger picture. And you know what, folks? When that happens, that's why we need to listen to the preaching of our pastor. Preaching's important. That's why here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we exalt, we lift up preaching. When you come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're going to hear preaching, amen? And we have singing, we have other things, but the preaching is lifted up. Why? Because the Bible has a lot to say about preaching. The Bible tells us that God speaks to us through preaching. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. That word manifest there means to render apparent. It means to declare. You understand that in the Old Testament time, God used to appear to people and speak to them in many different ways. But now that the Bible has been given in its entirety, God speaks to us as we read His Word, and especially when we hear the preaching of the Bible. That's why it's important that we're here to hear the preaching every time the doors are open. You know what? If you're not here, you may miss something God wants for you to hear. Because God speaks to us through the preaching. If you'll listen to this morning and you're in tune to the Holy Spirit, God right now is talking to your heart. You may not hear Him in an audible voice, but He's speaking to you, and you know it's God. So God speaks to us through preaching. We find this out, that God will establish us through preaching. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. That word established there, it means to fix. It means to steadfastly set. It means to strengthen. You know how many times that I've come to church with something broken or not right in my life, and the preacher seems to know exactly what it is, and as the Word of God preaches, it begins to minister to my soul. I mean, you know what? I mean, we say this, that sermon was just for me. Let me promise you this, folks. We don't have back in our offices a list of every detailed problem of every person at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay, and when we're out here writing sermons out and studying sermons out, we don't get the list out and consult that to figure out what everybody's problems are. But isn't it amazing how God uses the preaching and to administer to everyone? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And God will establish us. He will strengthen us through preaching. Not only that, we find this, that God shows His power through preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, you know the verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That word power comes from the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. That's where it comes from. That verse literally means that preaching to those that are saved is the dynamite of God. Anybody that knows anything about dynamite knows that dynamite causes a reaction. Usually a big reaction. And you know what? That is what the preaching does to us which are saved. It's what God uses to cause spiritual reactions in our lives. Just as dynamite's used to blast things away, preaching should blast away some things in our lives. You know what? Many of you, if you live near a coal mine, and if they haven't bought you out, you probably wish they would have, because when they start blasting, your house starts shaking. You know why they got to blast? They got to get rid of some stuff so they can get to the goods. And you know what, folks? That's what preaching does. It gets rid of the old rocky ground in our hearts so God can get the Word down in there and help us be better for Him. So don't despise preaching. It's the power of God. So when the people of Israel didn't know what to do, you know what they did? After they cried to God, they turned to Moses, the man of God. Let me real quick just show you the message that Moses gave him. And this is good. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Look what it says here. And Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not." Hey, here's a three-point sermon right here. Moses was preaching to him this outline. "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Here's what he said. He said, quit worrying, calm down, and trust God. Quit your worrying. Just calm down and trust God. God's going to take care of these circumstances, so be quiet and watch him work. And you know, folks, you know what? We get ourselves in so much trouble. When these circumstances face us, we want to start panicking. We want to start saying things we shouldn't say, start doing things we shouldn't do. Isn't it amazing? God told him here, he says, hey, hold your peace. Just stop, calm down, and get ready to watch me work. Amen? And we know the rest of the story. And you know what? I think Moses pointed them in the right direction. He gave them good advice. And if you will listen and apply your life to the principles of the Word of God that our pastor preaches, you'll be just fine also. Amen. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Number one, cry unto God. Number two, listen to the man of God. Number three, man, this is a good one, keep going forward. Look what it says there in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward." Hey, by the way, this was before the sea was parted. God says, "Moses, why? I've already told you what to do. Go forward." And then we find out as we keep reading, though, that as soon as God tells them to go forward, he makes a way for them to go forward. Folks, remember this. Quitting isn't an option. Just remember that. Cut the word quit out of your dictionary. Quitting isn't an option. You know what? Noah and his wife didn't quit after they lost everything in the flood. You know, Aaron didn't quit after his sons Nadab and Abihu were killed by the Lord for their disobedience. You know, Joshua didn't quit when outnumbered at the Battle of Jericho. Samson didn't quit even after his eyes were gouged out because of his poor decisions. Elijah didn't quit when a king and queen ordered a warrant for his arrest. Nehemiah didn't quit when building a wall that required him to carry a sword because of his enemies alongside of his work tools. You know what? Job didn't quit, even though he lost his health, his wealth, his family, and his friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't quit when they faced a fiery furnace. Daniel didn't quit, even though it meant facing a den of hungry lions. Joseph and Mary didn't quit when a law was passed to have their newborn son murdered. Peter didn't quit, even after he denied the Lord in a moment of weakness. You know what? Paul didn't quit after suffering snake bite, being imprisoned, being bitten, and being shipwrecked. Jesus did not quit, even though he did not want to have to be separated from his Father, and was beaten and mocked and crucified. Now, folks, listen. If all these people who are just like you and me could do it, so can we.
Yes, sir.
Don't quit. Keep going forward. You know, a young person should not quit high school. You know, a Bible college student should not quit Bible college. A husband or wife should not quit on their marriage.
Yep.
A Christian should not quit attending church. A Christian should not quit reading his Bible. A Christian should not quit praying. A Christian should not quit soul winning. A Christian should not quit telling the truth. A Christian should not quit being thankful. A Christian should not quit being loyal to his pastor. A Christian should not quit serving in the church. A Christian should not quit changing for the better. Hey, folks, get the picture? I wonder how many people today will not be in church 5 weeks, 5 months, or 5 years from now because they quit doing right in one area of their life. You know what? It's important to do the right thing all the time. You may say, well, you don't understand the circumstances I'm facing. Hey, guess what? Israel was facing a Red Sea with no human wave making it across. Yet God still commanded them to go forward. You see, even though they didn't know right then how God was going to get them across, God knew, and he just wanted them to trust him. There comes that word again, trust. How comes we have so many problems trusting God in our lives? You know what, folks? You may be facing what looks like an uncrossable Red Sea experience in your life, and you don't know what to do. Let me just say this to you. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Number one, crying to God. Number two, listen to the man of God. Number three, keep going forward. Number four, remember it's all about him. Remember it's all about him. Look what God says in verse 17 and 18. And I, behold, I, I love that. I behold I. God wanted them to know it was him going to do it, not them. And I behold I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I've gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. Folks, may I say this? Everything we face, everything we endure, every hardship in life that has brought our way, it's all for the purpose of honoring God. That's why it happens. You know, the reason God put Israel in this situation where they didn't know what to do was so he could glorify and honor himself and let the world know that he was God. Let me show you something pretty interesting. Flip with me a few books over to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. What I'm about to read to you takes place 40 years later. 40 years later. Of course, by this time, Israel has made it through the wilderness. They have wandered for 40 years. All the rebellious generation has died off. And they're now getting ready to cross into the promised land and conquer their first city, which, of course, is Jericho. Before they do that, a couple spies go over. And this is the response of Rahab when the spies come in to spy out the land of Jericho. Look what it says in verse 9. And she, being Rahab, said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Now listen to this. And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what she did unto the kings of the Amorites, and that were on the other side of Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. That right there is why God puts us in those circumstances. So a lost and dying world can know that there's a God in heaven. Yep. Folks, he wants to manifest that in our lives. I know sometimes you're going through it, it's not easy. I know sometimes you're going through it, it's easy to not be able to see the forest from the trees. And I know we get concentrated and we understand, and it consumes us of what's going on in our life. But listen to me, folks, it's all for the greater good. It's also God can be honored and glorified. You know what? God wants to use us in this dark world to let people know that there's a God in heaven who's alive and who's real. That's why God wants to use us in this world. So people can know that there's a God in heaven. I love Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. I teach this to our teens, and I want we sing this song in our Christian school. This is a scripture song. Revelation 4:11 says this, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God has created everything, organized everything, arranges circumstances in a certain amount of way so that he can get the most honor and glory out of every situation. Think about the testimony that you can be to this lost world and to other Christians when through tough times, when they come into your life, and you're wondering what to do, even though you don't know what to do. And instead of having a meltdown, you apply these Bible principles to your life. Think about the impact that you could have. Think about it. Think about the impact you can have on somebody else. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Cry to the Lord. Listen to the man of God. Keep going forward. And remember, it's all about him. Now, predominantly, I talked to we as Christians this morning. And I want to be an encouragement to you. But you know what? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I got an easy answer for you. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to get saved. And folks, you know, I can't explain all that God does, but I do know this. I sense a drawing of the Lord. And there's been people get saved this week. And in fact, I'm sure she's going to come up and let the folks know, but my sister Lynette got saved at the youth rally on Friday night. And folks, listen to me. You know what? I sense a drawing. I sense that the Lord is calling those. And you know, he's calling lost people to him. He's always done it. But for some reason, it just seems like there's an unusual drawing of the Spirit bringing folks to the Lord. Now, folks, if you're not saved this morning, you need to get saved. Amen. Hey, you know what? If you're not saved, you can't do any of these things we talked about this morning. You can't cry into God because He's not going to hear you if you're not His child. Okay, you know what? You're not going to really want to listen to the man of God because it's going to seem, because the Bible says the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. It's going to seem foolish to you if you're not saved. You know what? If you're not saved, you're not going to want to keep going forward. You're going to want to pursue the remedies of the world. If you're not saved, you're definitely not going to honor and glorify God. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, make this the day of your salvation. Make this the day of your salvation. Hey, I'm not just talking about new people or visitors or people who haven't been coming out. I'm talking about all of us. We all better check out and make sure we're saved. You know, those things that Brother Comfort talked about last week, folks. Hey, have you checked the news lately? I mean, folks, this world is sitting on a powder keg. I mean, it is about ready to explode. What do you think is going to be the event that causes that to happen? It's probably going to be the rapture of the church. We need to be ready. And I believe the Lord's coming soon. We ought to, as Christians, live like we've never lived before. I mean, we ought to honor God like we've never honored Him before. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved this morning and make the day of salvation today. All right, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. I just talked about salvation. And as always here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we always give a gospel invitation. And folks, being saved has nothing to do with living a good life, has nothing to do with your good works outweighing your bad works when you get to heaven. It's a matter of putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Number one, realizing that we're a sinner. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have got a universal problem. That universal problem is sin. Number two, realizing because of our sin, there's a penalty for our sin. And that penalty, according to the Bible, is spending eternity away from God in a place called the lake of fire. Number three, realizing that Jesus came and He died on the cross to pay your sin debt for you. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, you know what? That's for you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Realizing you're a sinner, realizing there's a penalty on your sin, and realizing that Jesus Christ came and paid that penalty. And last of all, if you'll simply, by faith, put your trust in Jesus Christ to save you, you can be saved. You can, your eternal destiny will be secure. You can know for sure you're going to heaven. And so we want to give you that opportunity. But no one's looking around. We don't embarrass people here. Nobody comes and gets you or anything like that. But if you're sitting here this morning and you felt the Lord speak to your heart, and you know you're not saved. You know, I mean, there's just that doubt. There's just this plaguing questions in your mind. And you don't have a peace that in your heart, knowing that if you would die, you would go to heaven. You're here this morning, and you're not saved, but you would like for me to pray for you. Would you just simply slip up your hand so I can pray for you? Is there anybody like that here this morning? Anybody that's not saved this morning? All right. Okay, thank you. So I take it then from most everyone here then is saved. Now, folks, if we're saved, if we're Christians, we ought to live like we're Christians. We ought to handle the circumstances God brings in our lives like Christians. And we ought to realize the purposes for what God's doing. So I pray this morning as we have this invitation, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you need the Lord to do some work in your heart this morning, come and use these altars. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the answers in the Bible. Thank you for showing us what to do, Lord, when we don't know what to do. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with all the folks here this morning. God, I do pray that you'd be with those that are going through the hard times. God, it's not an easy thing. Lord, it is difficult, but Lord, help us through these situations to realize that you're still in control. You got a plan. You got a purpose. And Lord, help us, we pray. God, I do pray if there's someone that's not here, that's not saved today, Lord, and that they didn't raise their hand, but Lord, if they're not saved, Lord, may today be the day of their salvation. Bless this invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name.